and thrilled about finally being here and having... See, this is not for you guys. This is for some other purpose. It's probably because they think I'm not comfortable unless I have a mic in my hand. That is not true. But we are so thankful to be here and so blessed to be finally here. I have... Pastor Lisa and I, we have just been wonderful friends for several years, and it just seems like the Lord kept having us cross paths. And I see several faces throughout the room that I recognize and people that I've already met and fallen in love with. So I'm very thankful for those new people that I'm meeting. And just to have an opportunity, I'm all about covenant relationships. As she was saying, my husband and I, Daryl, we pastor Good News Worship Center, have been there for 22 years in Lexington, Tennessee. And we have some wonderful, great people, and one of those people has chosen to be with me and travel with me, and that's my covenant friend, Lynn Todd, and I'm so thankful for her. And she is just such a blessing to me beyond what I can even tell you what a blessing she is for me. And so you know as well as I do, when you find people that want to relate to you and hook up with you and they have your heart and not they don't have an agenda, they just want to serve the Lord in whatever capacity that they can, you know that you found somebody true of heart. And that's what I found with Lynn. And so I'm thankful for that. And I'm so thankful for all the we laugh about it, Pastor Lisa and I, is because it just seems like God just keeps having our paths cross, and then whenever we have an opportunity to be together, it can get a little silly. But that's okay. Yeah. Yeah, she's over there grinning too. Yeah, there's we have history, don't we? But anyway, it's so good to be here and to, and so y'all, okay, I'm from the South, y'all go ahead and relax and just enjoy yourselves. And I do better. I try to tell everybody, whenever the Lord puts you in a different place, you know, she said, okay, now it's going to be very relaxed and everybody's going to be sitting around tables and eating. And I'm going, okay. So I need to get in my relaxed mode, and I'm not really sure I have one. So that's just how it is. I tell the whenever I'm at the church and we're on a Wednesday night and I'm doing a series, like a teaching series, you know, you try to get in the teacher mode. You don't even know what that is. And so, you know, and I look around the room and with, I have promised you tonight, I have not come with a big revelatory word. My God, why would I even think about doing that when you have Pastor Lisa, Dr. Lynn, and Mama House? Why would I even think about doing anything like that? So I've come only to give you a word of encouragement and to share with you something. Somebody told me one time, I walked in and they said, you know, well, she's going to be, we cannot wait to hear what the Lord has given her to share. And I turned around and I said, I can't wait to hear it either. And I feel like I'm really at that place tonight. Well, Lord, I really kind of like to hear what that is too. So anytime you get ready, that will be good. So I look at you and I say this, all I know is I'm relational. I'm just relational. I don't know how to do anything but to be relational. And Pastor Lisa said, now usually on Wednesday nights we just sit around and we discuss the word and people, you know, they share and everything. She said, but we're not sharing tonight. We're not going to talk. You're just going to talk. And I went, is Lynn going to be there? She said, I don't know. He's had some things going on, but he might be there. And I said, well, that's not going to happen then. I love you, and you know that. Joyce, I pray for you all the time. But I say it in all sincerity. I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to be here. And I did ask Pastor Lisa what time frame you guys look for, because I do tell everybody where I go. I am a firm believer in watching the clock. It don't mean anything, but I do watch it. So that gives you your hope right now. If you see me look at my watch, I know you're thinking, well, she's keeping an eye on how long she's going there. No, I can't really see it, but I have to hold it just right in the light, and if I see it real good, then I know what time it is. But I came tonight... I came tonight, and she asked me, they said, to put this up here and for me to sit down. That's hilarious. I mean, that's just funny. I could do it, but I promise you I would kick this table over within a few moments' time. So I want to share with you a couple of things tonight that, I do kind of want to put it in a little bit of a teaching mode. As a lot of you in the room know, because of wonderful Facebook, we have an opportunity to connect lives and to connect events that happen in our lives and all those different things, right? So we have all that going on. And for a lot of you in the room that are connected with me on Facebook, realize and know that in the past few weeks that has been a big transition in my life, in that is that my mother has gone on to be with the Lord. I was telling Trish a while ago, it's been the hardest season I have literally ever faced on this hand. On this hand, it's been, I don't even know how to explain what God has done spiritually. On the other hand, it's just like they don't go together, but they go together. And if you knew my mom, then you would know you would have enjoyed just being around her. Pastor Lisa and I actually had plans that all four of us were going to be in the mountains together this year. We had those plans. God had different things in mind, but my mom was one of the funniest people that God ever placed on the earth. One of the prayingest people, one of the most anointed people, tremendous preacher of the gospel. And so when she transitioned over, the Sunday before she transitioned on a Tuesday on August the 19th. Well, on August the 17th, as all of us gathered in, they called us in. I was scheduled to preach in Georgia, and they called and said, "You need to come now." Well, I got to the hospital, and it was about a four-hour drive. We got up there, and I experienced something that day that I've never experienced in my life. That afternoon, as all the children and the grandchildren, almost all the grandchildren were there, we were coming in and out of the room at different times, and Mom was blessing every nurse that came through the door. She's laying hands on them and blessing them, and then she'd crack a joke and all this stuff. And that afternoon, Mom asked for all of us to come into the room at one time, which meant there was about 15 of us in one little hospital room all at one time. And I experienced the thing of seeing something happen that I've only read about in the scripture before, where it talked about where all the patriarchs, before they would pass over, they would call in the families and they would begin to bless and prophesy over them. Well, the matriarch of our family had that opportunity. And she was on full oxygen, 100%. And at one point in the afternoon, she asked for all of us to come in. Immediately, we just sensed this presence of the Lord. And she sat up in the bed. She had us raise her up. Even though she was on full oxygen, her breath, everything was there. And for 15 to 20 minutes, my mom went around the room and prayed and blessed and prophesied over every person in the room. Never seen anything like it in my life. It was absolutely tremendous and transitional. And even in my private time, in the last few days at my mom, I was the last one that she spoke to. Just different things that had happened. And God has just absolutely just done some different things. And I'm telling you all this because I want us to continue to look for the supernatural of God. I think what happens is that we try to start explaining so many things that we miss the supernatural visitations of God. And I think what had happened in a lot of people's lives that I'm seeing is that people say they want to talk about God on God instead of God. You know, they just want to put him off somewhere instead of realizing that I don't think God's through doing the miraculous yet. Now, In my mind, I could have placed a lot of doubt in that because I had a friend who had a friend of hers exactly the same time that my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Her friend was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Within 1 month of her friend being diagnosed, she was completely and totally healed with no cancer left in her body. From the time that my mom was diagnosed, they told us, they said, the doctor said it's going to be between 9 and 12 months. She lived 9 weeks. So we didn't have any answers for anything. But I want to tell you something. It has not shaken my faith in knowing that I know who God is. And I still believe in the supernatural things of God. I'm looking for the supernatural things of God. And as of late, I began to just look through the scripture, and I want to share a couple of scriptures with you tonight. Some very familiar scriptures, not something that, like I said, y'all got enough of the revelatory knowledge going on around in here. Y'all don't need that. I just came with a word of encouragement. But in the book of Mark, in chapter 8, verse 27, immediately everybody knows where I'm going. In chapter 8, it says, verse 27, it says, "And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And verse 29 says, And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ." Now, I want to take a few minutes and kind of look at a couple of things here, because one thing we need to realize is that what the Lord has done, he has taken his disciples aside once again, and he's asking them questions. If you read through most, you see a lot of things in the scripture, the disciples are always asking him questions. So this time around, the Lord starts asking them some questions. Now, first of all, there's two things that the Lord shared with me about that, and it's just kind of real common knowledge. With a question, it's for one of two purposes. Number one, it's because you want some information. Or number two, it's because you're testing somebody's knowledge about a subject. And so what we find out is this the same thing as like this. Jesus never asked a question that he didn't already know the answer to. We all know that. And so because of that, one of the examples in that we have is even like with God in the garden, he never asked Adam, where are you? Because he didn't know where Adam was. He's asking Adam, where are you? Because he needs Adam to recognize, do you really know where you're at? Do you really understand what the consequences of your actions? Do you really understand where they put you? And it wasn't because God don't know the answer. And Jesus wasn't asking them the question because he didn't know the answer. He's asking them a question because he's testing their knowledge. And see, that's what a teacher does. A teacher goes before their students, because that was his disciples. A teacher goes before their students and starts asking them questions, not because they don't have the answers. It's like, I want to know if you've been walking with me and doing all these things with me all this time, do you know the answer yet? And so I looked at that and I thought, you know, isn't it funny? Because that with God in the garden with Adam, he's asking him that so he can find out, Adam, are you willing to recognize the state of where your actions have put you? And so I got to thinking recently, and I told our congregation this recently. I said, it's so funny to me that we think that everything that happens to us in every place that we find ourselves, we think it surprises God. It's like, what? Did that really happen to you? I mean, it's like we're expecting to go into our prayer closet and the Lord said, oh my God, I didn't know. You know, are you serious? Did that really happen to you? It's almost like we think that we're going to sit, that God is so surprised at the place and the things that has happened to us. We think that he's surprised when we get done wrong. No, you're surprised. And the reason why we get surprised in that is because we put our trust and our confidence in some places that God never taught us to put them. So we get surprised at times because people don't follow through with what they say. Am I talking to anybody? We get surprised at that. We're the ones that surprised when people don't do what they say they're going to do. So I kind of got to thinking about that. Is that's what we are doing whenever we go before the Lord and we start. I don't know about you, but the longer that I have been walking with the Lord, my prayer time with the Lord has totally changed. Whereas before, a long time ago, it was, you know, you set aside a time and you just did it just like this, you know. And then after a while, you realize what you've done is you've created a very ritual time that hasn't been very effective. But you've made it a very ritual time. Now, I'm not saying don't set aside time to pray, but I want to tell you something. I find myself in prayer 24/7. Now, I'm just going to be real with you, because I'm one of those type people, 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to have to get up and go to the bathroom. Amen. Anybody? Thank you, Brother Dan. Well, no, it was three of us in the room. But I find myself in a wonderful state of just feeling the presence of God and not having to work my way into it. Now, I'm not saying I feel like, you know, all the time, well, just holy. I had one of my spiritual sons call me recently. And I realized when he called me in our conversation, I don't think I'm as holy as I used to be. Because he called me and he said, usually he'll say Pastor Donna, or he'll say, well, if he calls me and he starts out, Mama, then I know he's got something he wants to talk about. So he called and he said, giggling, as soon as I answered the phone, he kind of giggled and he said, hey, Mama, how you doing today? And I said, I'm fine. But I knew when he started out, hey, Mama, how you doing today? Now, this is one of my spiritual sons who's only about 6 years younger, physically younger than me. But he says, I got a question for you. And then he just laughed real big and he said, you think it'd be all right if I just hauled off and slapped somebody? And I said, yeah, that's what I said. I'm good with that. And he started laughing. I said, I ain't laughing. And he said, what? And I said, no, I'm not laughing. I said, I really kind of think that there's sometimes, I said, if you had some of the experiences that I've had recently, I said, you know, I can go ahead and tell you right now, I already forgive you, and I am certain that God will too. And he started laughing. He said, that was not the answer I expected from you. And I said, well, that's the answer you're going to get today, because you haven't been going through what I've been going through on this end, but I know what you've been going through. And I said, but it's all right. And so I think about that there's times where that, you know, people look at me. It's like I go every month and minister at a homeless shelter for women and children in Jackson, Tennessee. And so I go in there, and it's girls from the age of 17 all the way up to women of the age of 65 who are homeless. And so I go in there every month and go minister. And so sometimes they have a lot of turnover. So you go in sometimes, and it's the same people that's been there for months. And then every time I go in and introduce myself again, because I know there's going to be 2 or 3 new ones that are in there. And so sometimes the Lord will give me an opportunity to share a little bit about my testimony. Because when you walk in and you say you've been pastoring for 22 years and that you've been saved for over 30, they just think you've been holy, you know, that you're holy and you've been holy your whole life. I'm just going, no. Yeah, you know, you're looking at this, like, you know, they think that you've had like the perfect little life and that you were raised in church and all of that. And so I start telling them about, well, no, I got saved on my way home from a nightclub. I was drunk. I was high. And they're going, what? You know that they've lost all holiness about you then, you know. Oh, girlfriend, you just like us, you know. So you have an opportunity. What it does then, it opens up a new opportunity for them to see you in a different way and for them to be able to relate to you like maybe they didn't have an opportunity to relate to you anymore. Now, what I've done with all you holy people in here tonight is y'all are done with me. Because, like, we know we've been raised in church. You know, we slept under the pews. We know all about that. So y'all just hang with me for a few minutes, and I'll try to just give you a little bit of Donna and the reality of who Donna is. But so I have found that God, and well, just with the Lord, he's asking us questions. And I don't think he's just stopped with the disciples. I think he's asking us some questions. He's trying to get us to really answer some things. Because I want to tell you something, there's a world that needs some questions answered. And I want to tell you something. I know we got the answer. And I believe that if we will start paying attention to what the Lord is really saying, we're going to find out that it's not really all the time something where we tell people, I just don't know. But because I believe the supernatural power of God is showing up in places where we least expect it. It's showing up in the places, and Dr. Lynn can tell you, it shows up in some churches you think that the supernatural is just, it's not going to be, and it just shows up right when you least expect it. I love it when God has an opportunity to surprise me and say, I'm going to just show up and show out in spite of you. And I feel like that's what God is trying to tell us now, is why not just get to the place where you're ready to have an answer when God asks you a question. So the Lord asked them there, very first thing that he said there, in Mark 8 and 27, Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I am?" That's the first question that he asked him. "Whom do men say that I am?" And the Lord shared with me, he said, when you say that, you got to be able to answer the question that's being asked. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when Daryl and I are getting ready to go on a trip, now right now he is actually on a plane flying to Nicaragua. He was packing shorts. I was packing sweaters. The same thing happened to us last year at the very same time. But when we're getting ready to go on a trip together, I will go in and I'll say, "Daryl, what time do you want to leave?" He'll say, "Well, I've got to take a shower. I've got to pack my clothes. I've got to go do this, and I've got to go do that." And I'll look at him and say, "That's all fine and good. But the question was, when do you want to leave?" Now, you've given me answers to questions I did not ask you. So y'all experienced that too? So I'm thinking, but when do you want to leave? And so what I found out, the Lord said, "Did you know what? I'm experiencing that with my children all the time. I'm experiencing that also with my bride all the time, because I'm asking my bride questions and she's giving me answers that don't go with the question." I had today, bless it. That's my little southern saying. I look at you and I say, "Bless it." You know that I'm really talking. See, y'all don't even know what that means, do you? Well, bless it. So y'all going to have to help me. I preach to the amen corner. That was your cue. There you go. So I had today a text from a lady, and she says, are y'all all right? Can I just be real? I mean, I don't know anything else. Okay. So she says, "So I got a question for you." And when somebody starts like that, you don't know. You know, you just don't know. "I'm watching a TV preacher, and he says that he sins every day." And well, so he says that he sins every day. And I just want to know, she said, "I don't really agree with that. What do you think?" I just texted him back and said, I don't agree with that either. And I just left it at that. I mean, I was trying to get ready to come here. She texts right back and she says, "Well, I've just been wondering what his sin is." I said, "My thought is, I don't care. Just focus on Jesus." She texts back and she said, "Why do you think I care?" I said, "I don't know. I don't know." And so this conversation, you're trying to picture in your mind, because what people are trying to do, I'll tell you what's happening is, I text her back and I said this. I said, "I think the reason," she said, "Why do you think he's like that?" And I said, "Well, I think the reason is because he's, no," she said, "I am totally shocked." And I said, text back and said, "I'm not." She told me who the preacher was, and he's very famous. She said, "I'm shocked." I said, "I'm not." And she said, "Why do you think that is?" And I said, "Because the same thing that we preach, because he's very sin conscious. And so that's all he's focusing on, that's all he's got." And so what I'm finding out, even with us who are not sin conscious and trying to walk out in the kingdom of God, even though we may not be sin conscious, but I'll tell you what we are doing, we're giving answers to the question that's not being asked. See, a lot of y'all going to catch that about midnight tonight. Because you're going to catch what that meant in the spirit. Because a lot of people are trying to give answers to people out here that's keeping them in the same bondage that they've always been in. And it's still not the question. It's still not the question. The question is, how can I be free? And we're giving them all these answers that's not leading to freedom. Oh, Jesus. I mean, it's just there. So I found this out. Why did he ask them? Jesus is asking the disciples this question, whom do men say that I am? Because he's testing their recognition ability and their ability to perceive what is really going on around them. Now, you see what I'm saying? He's testing their ability to see what is really going on around them. Because what happens is we all get caught up in what's focusing in on or just doing something. And something can happen going on around us and we not even pay attention that it happened. Because the majority of you in the room just now did not even realize that a 3-year-old or 2-year-old just ran across in front of me. You know why? Because we're used to it. And I'm saying that because of the fact that if we're not careful, that's why we miss the supernatural. Because we're so used to the normal stuff, God's saying, look. And we're going, that's okay. We're not realizing, we're not celebrating the supernatural things that are going on around us because we have decided that they're just normal. Oh, I think he wants us to celebrate him. I think he's wanting us to celebrate the miraculous things that he does on a daily basis in our lives that we have just come. It's okay to expect them, but can we not just celebrate them so that other people will realize it's okay to expect the supernatural? Why not? Because we have been trained to expect the negative. Well, it's just true anyway. In Genesis 28, Jacob had a dream, and he told about the ladder. But right at the end of that story, he said, huh, God, you were here all along, and I didn't even know it. So here's there's examples all through the scripture where even they at one point finally recognized that God was there all along, and I didn't even know it. Right in the midst of us. So he's asking them this question. He wanted them to recognize. So he says to them, whom do men say that I am? He wanted them to recognize, do you hear what other people are saying about me? Do you hear what's coming out of their mouths about me? And here's what the Lord told me in that. He had repeatedly, with his own disciples around him, fed 5,000, fed 4,000, heal the blind, heal the sick. All these things are going on. And then even right here in Mark chapter 8, before it even got down to this question, it tells about the story of where he had fed thousands of people. And then they get on a ship and they're like, well, we don't have, he talks about the leaven of the Pharisees. Oh, it's because we didn't bring any bread. And he says, what? Really? And I see, I know King James don't say it like that. That's Donna Barber talk. What? Really? You think that's what I'm talking about? Really? And that's not what I'm talking about at all. You don't understand anything that I'm trying to say to you. And he says here, he said, all of these things are happening around you. I'm letting you. Let me tell you, so I came all the way to West Virginia to tell you this. The Lord is saying, I'm letting you experience my supernatural power. I'm letting you do that. Don't discount me to anybody outside these four walls. You know, I hear about all the miraculous things and all the great things that happen when you have youth camp, and that's wonderful, but I want to tell you something. There's no reason for it not to be that way all the time. 365 days a year. Has anybody else heard what's going on that up at that church up there? I think we need to go find out. I think we need to go find, because some great things are going on. Why do we get to a place where we just get hyped up when it gets conference time? We just get hyped up when it comes, you know, all these different things. Why can't we just be that way all the time? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's going to do it then, I believe he can do it now. Why? And our kids waking up each and every day saying, oh, did you hear what he did with so-and-so yesterday? Did you hear? Because we are not discounting just because we're his disciples that gather together and hear the word of the Lord preached. We're not discounting it and making it of no value. We're saying, yes, that's the word of the Lord. You know what happens? And we say this all the time. You know when we truly believe something? When we act on it. Now, I knew I wasn't going to get a lot of amens out of that, but that's the truth. I was ministering to a young girl, 20 years old, and she said, I just took her in my arms. She had just been through a place where she had already spent her first night in jail at 20 years old, and all these things were going on. And I said to her, I just grabbed her up in my arms. I said, I believe in you. I believe in the greatness in you. She said, I believe it too. I said, no, you don't. I said, because, honey, if you really did, you'd act on it. And you let go of these things that keep taking you out of the presence of the Lord and putting you in. If you really believed it, if you could see what I see in you. Now see, why are we waiting for somebody outside of this room right here to say that to? Why aren't we saying that to each other? I believe in you. Oh, that's not even in my notes, but my God, that's good. Hallelujah. I write notes. I don't know what they're for. But, you know. So he asked him. I said, who did he ask? He asked his disciples. He asked the ones that were walking with him, that he was leading. The ones, because this is what I found out, and I've been telling this everywhere I get an opportunity to tell this. Do you realize that it is so greatly possible to be taught and never learn? All the time, it's so possible to be taught and never learn. We experience it with our kids. We experience it in church. All these different places where we have poured out of ourselves and given lessons. Mama, you know you've given lessons. And I'm sure at one time, I won't say about Pastor Lisa, but Dr. Lynn, I'm sure there was times you're thinking, that kid ain't never going to get it. And the reason I say that is because he's told that. I love him, but it's true. It happens at a place that we can be taught and be taught and be taught and never learn a thing. Now, I want to tell you something. It's not the fault of the teacher. It's not the fault of the teacher, because Jesus was our perfect example of what a true teacher is, and he taught and he taught and he taught, and there's some things they just never learned. It's all about the heart. Where's your perception? Where's your mind at? What have you done? What happened is because of their familiarity. I'm so way ahead of where I was thinking. You get so familiar with the people that God placed you with. You get so familiar with them that all of a sudden you start devaluing the anointing that's in their life. Did I say that out loud? Mm-hmm. It's true. And it happens usually when it comes to this type setting. It will happen with pastoral leadership. It'll happen with our best friends. It'll happen with our family members, because we're so familiar with them, we devalue the anointing of God that's in their lives. Somebody else, we've had this happen before. Daryl and I, as pastors, we've had this happen before. We have just preached our hearts out and just given this word, and then you have guest speakers come in, and like 3 weeks later, after you have preached a word and preached your heart, know that you had the word of the Lord. And a preacher come in and preach exactly the same thing. You're thinking, my God, what a great confirmation. And as a pastor, you're sitting there going, yes, yes. Hey, y'all get it? And then somebody walks up to you after church and says, was that not the most phenomenal word? I've never heard anything like that in my life. And literally, I'm standing there going, really? Thank you so much. And finally, I said that to one lady. I said, where you been? I said, we've been saying that in this house a long time. I said, are you in nursery every Sunday? God love them. Bless it. Jesus asked the very ones that was with him all the time. You know what? I'm only a third way through this, so I better either hurry up and knock off a lot of stuff or shut up and do it. Oh. So Jesus asked the very ones that were walking with him on a daily basis, the ones that should know him better than anybody else on the face of the earth. But here's what I found out. The reason he's asking them is the same reason why we need to be careful, because you don't need to ask just anybody to define you. You hear what I'm saying? You don't ask just anybody to define who you really are. For example, let's say you face a situation that is a horrible thing. And I mean, it's just taking you. I mean, it to anybody else, it looked like it just took. And it puts you flat on your face. Now, the wrong people is going to come along and define you and said, failure. 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 But what I choose to say is, no, I'm on my face, focusing on my future. I just happen to be in a posture of worship. It depends on who you let define you. Because somebody close enough to you, if they see a situation put you on your face, they know that you're there because you're going to say, I'm going to focus on the things of the Lord. I'm not going down. This may look like I'm flat on my face to you, but I tell you something. All I'm doing is I just got a new posture of worship today. I'm just worshiping from here today. I'm not worshiping from here. I'm worshiping because I've had this happen in all the things that I have faced in the past several weeks. Some people have said to me, Pastor Donnie, you're standing so strong. And I'm thinking, it's only because of God. Because my heart hurts. Even though I know that my mom just passed over into that realm, she's here. She's here. Cheering me on. But she's not tangible. So in the last few weeks, my posture of worship has changed. Now, will it always be on my face? No. But for now, that's where it's at. So I don't let just anybody define me. Jesus is asking the very ones that's walking with him on a day-to-day basis, whom do men say that I am? You never let people define you. The word men here is very important. I love this. The word men in Mark chapter 8 actually means humans with wide open eyes gazing at something remarkable. The word men means humans with wide open eyes gazing at something remarkable. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, who are these people out here with these wide open gazing eyes? Who are they saying that I am? Because they're out there, they're cheering him on. They're showing up by the thousands. They're bringing the sick. They're bringing the blind. They're bringing the crippled. And the disciples are over here going, he's busy. Don't bring the kids up here. He's like, what? Don't you know yet who I am? See, God is to us in whatever capacity we need him to be at that time. So to all of them at different times, he was different things. But he's asking his own disciples, do you see all these people out here with these wide open eyes and gazing remarkably at things that are going on? Are you recognize what they're saying about me? Do you hear? I'm going to tell you something. We get so used to the supernatural, we don't think it's supernatural. And so people are saying, did you see what happened? You're going, what? Oh, he does that all the time. What? And the Lord is saying, are you looking at these people out here with these wide open gazes. It's just like people who get saved when they first get saved, and they're just we call it the glory bubble in Tennessee. I don't know what y'all call it. You know, they're floating around like all is good, and then something comes along and pops that little bubble, and they're like, "What? I don't know what happened. Yesterday I was so happy, and today I'm not." Why? Was he God? Yeah. Was he God yesterday? He's still God today. Yeah. Didn't change. I had a thought about one of my grandsons. I tell people this all the time. If I can't use my family as examples, I'm messed up already. My oldest grandson, who is now 15, I have my oldest grandchild is my granddaughter, and she's in her freshman year of college, and I'm like, where did this come from? So my oldest grandson, I'm looking at him like this now. But when he was 3 years old, I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but one day he was at my house visiting, and we're out in the backyard, and I had he was playing golf for a little while. He had a little golf club. He's out there playing golf, and then he's got a little BB gun. He's shooting at things. Well, there happened to be a snake come up in the yard, and the whole story itself is absolutely hilarious, but I don't have time to tell you. I'm so sorry. Y'all had to have me come back just so I can tell the story. So in the midst of that, long story short, it was a copperhead. And it was headed right for him. And he's just kind of nonchalantly standing there going, isn't that a snake? Yes. And I'm backing him up. And I wind up killing the copperhead. Now, when I've told the story before, it's hilarious. I'm sure if it had been on video, I'd have won money. But I wound up killing the copperhead, making him think that he helped kill the copperhead. And then after killing the copperhead, I'm sitting on the back deck totally sweating because, I mean, I have just been through an ordeal killing a 4-foot-long copperhead. And so then his little BB gun jams. And so then he walks over, and I'm still like this, you know, thinking this was just horrific. So I get his BB gun where it's working again. And I said, here, Ethan. And I hand it back to him. And this whole ordeal had played out in about a 30-minute time span. So he had seen all these things that Nana was doing. After fixing his gun, he looks at me and he says, "Nana, you just knows everything." Now, in my mind, da-da-da-da! So all I can say is this. Now, he's 15 now, but for one day in Ethan's life, I was his hero. And the reason I was his hero is because he saw me do some remarkable things that vitally affected his life. You see where I'm going? He saw me do some things that made him have that wide open look of, wow, look at Nana go. We have got a world out there that's waiting for us to say, wow, look what Jesus done. Look what Jesus did. And it'll come to a place where we're coming in and say, well, do we have any prayer requests tonight? Oh, but no, bless God, I got a testimony. Come on, just let me talk about what God did today. Woo, wasn't it good? I bet y'all wish I'd sit down, don't you? Calm down. Calm that Tennessee woman down. Hallelujah. Anyway, so who answered? All of the disciples, I believe they went around the circle and said, well, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others say one of the prophets. So they all answered. Then Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? In other words, there's these wide-eyed human beings over here that's talking about how remarkable I am, that's lining up in the droves just to be where I'm at. If I go to a mountain to pray, they're looking, where is he? I just want to be where you are. They're looking for him. I'm not sure that after a while all the disciples were always looking to see where Jesus was. So he says, but who do you say that I am. And only one answers. Before it said his disciples answered, but then it said only one answered. Peter, the rock. And Peter says, thou art the Christ. So what the only answer that the rock can give you is this, that Jesus is your all in all. If you need a healer, he's your healer. If you need a savior, he's your savior. It doesn't matter whatever it was. Only the rock could say, you are the all in all. That's who we say. That's who I say that you are. Many, many times their perception of Jesus was off. I was reminded of a story, and I really am trying to pull this in and land it here. There was a story, and we all know it. Like I said, I know you guys do because you've got all these scholars sitting in the room, and then I show up. It's almost comical, isn't it? Then I show up. But in the book of Luke, the story of the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. Jesus said, they're all in this, you guys know the story, they're all there and there's just people pushing and shoving and all of these people are around, and says that she had tried everything, done everything, spent all that she had. But she works her way till she touches the hem of his garment. And I know that you guys know all the story about, you know, the hem being where all the everything through the ages has come down and the anointing, the fullness of it, all those different things. But even in that situation, once again, he could have asked them, whom do these men say that I am? He could have asked them exactly the same question on that instance. But he said to them, he looked around and she reached the hem of his garment. And he looked around and he said, who touched me? Luke 8 and 45 says, and Jesus said, who touched me? And everybody around him, you all know, they all denied it. And Peter said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? Now, I don't know about you guys, but I know Peter was very real. And I know King James makes it sound so prim and proper. But I think really what happened was is Peter was pulling him aside saying, now look, we are promoting you. We are walking with you. Everybody is seeing us with you. And you have all these people around you and you ask the question, who touched you? We would really appreciate it if you would not ask questions like that in the midst of all of us being here, because it kind of looks like you don't know what's going on. Now, I think Peter was kind of like that. Here's the thing. Y'all think Peter was all holy too. No, Peter was like me. He was just real. And sometimes words just hopped out of his mouth before he had time to think. Now, anybody else want to admit that that happens to you? All the time. So Peter says, you're asking us this question? Because, see, Jesus was famous for asking questions that they didn't have the right answer for. So instead of giving the answer, they look at him basically and say, we don't know what you're talking about. I got a feeling that a lot of us are looking at Jesus and saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand what you're saying. Because, see, this is how this has always worked in the past, and now you want to do it different? And you don't want me to answer the question of why don't we always go ahead and do it this way, and we sing this many songs, and we sing this many verses of the songs, and we get to this part, we're going to tag it, and we're going to end it right here, and everybody's going to get up and go home. No. And Jesus all the while saying, can you just let me have some fellowship time with you? Because you're still not answering the questions that I'm asking. So once again, in the book of Luke there, They're not answering the question that Jesus is asking. So I did a little thing here, and this is one of the things that Lord showed me in this. Peter said, "You say, who touched me?" In verse 46, Luke 8 and 46 says, "And Jesus said, somebody had touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." Now, see, here's the deal. The word perceive here is not necessarily the word perceive that you think it is. Because if we think of perceive, when we would say that, we would most likely read it, "For I understand that some power has gone out of me." Now, that's what we would say that we thought that meant. But actually, the word perceive here has a much deeper meaning. Can I just share that with you for just a second? I promise I'm going to close right here. So everybody say hallelujah. No? Amen? So let me just share with you just for a brief second. The word perceive here, it's actually an idiom. Not an idiot. We got enough of those. It's an idiom. So now let me define for you an idiom. An idiom, oh, I love this. An idiom is a style or form of artistic expression that is characteristic of the individual giving it. Listen. It's possible to be taught and not learned. So listen. An idiom is a style or a form of artistic expression that is characteristic of the individual that is giving it. Now you're like, okay, now tell me what it means. Okay. Well, you know, we have all kinds of idioms all the time. Here's an idiom. I'm sick as a dog. You're not a dog, and you're not that sick. But when you say, did y'all say that here? Why are y'all looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about? Help this little Tennessee girl out now. You're looking at me like, what? It's raining cats and dogs. What? What does that mean? I don't know. That's one I don't know. You're going to have to explain that to me. But here's the thing. I'm serious. That's what that means? A poodle. West Virginia. Thank you, Jesus. Well, just like you say to somebody, they jumped the gun. You know, that means they got ahead of themselves. So that's an idiom, okay? So now, when we say those type things in the South, now that makes sense about what an idiom is. It means because it's an artistic expression of the individual that's giving it. Because if I'm a good Southern girl and I say to you, I'm sick as a dog, that's fitting my artistic expression of me giving that example. So when Jesus said, I perceive that virtue went out of me, this is what that word perceive means. It's actually a Jewish idiom. And what it means is, and we, y'all know Jesus came from a Jewish type. Okay, I'm just playing. So it's actually a Jewish idiom that means that, there's some kids in the room. Y'all just hanging with me. It actually means that sexual intercourse between a man and a woman has just taken place. So now what Jesus is actually saying, when he looks at them and says, who touched me? Because I perceive that virtue and power just went out of me. Actually what he's doing, he's looking around and saying, who just made love to me? Somebody just made love to me. Right in front of everybody else, somebody came up and took the power right out of me. Not because they were looking for anything other than they wanted to have covenant with me. So when he looked at them and said, I understand. I'm perceiving that some power just left my body. No. He's saying, oh, who was it? Come on. Somebody in this crowd's in love with me. Somebody in this crowd is in love with me because somebody wanted to not just bump me. Somebody didn't just want to see me for what I could do. Somebody wanted me. Because you know what? There's a whole lot of difference. Pastor Lee said, you can clean this all up later. There's a whole lot of difference in having sex and making love. And what Jesus is saying is, there was a woman that came on the scene that wanted me. She came to touch me because she was touching the heart of who I am. So I came all the way to West Virginia just to ask you, whom do you say that he is? Whom do you say that he is? Do we say he's just our healer or our deliverer? Or can we get to that place where we say he's the lover of my soul? He's my all in all. He's the one that I dream about. He's the one that I wake up in the morning and can't wait to spend time with. He's the one that I can't wait to go out and tell a world about how great it is not to just have a religion, but to have a relationship. He's the one that I touch the hem of his garment, and he looked at me and said, you just made love to me. That's who I say Jesus is. Amen. Amen.
I'm kidding.